Kyle Malin, who's the editor of the MERS newsletter. Kyle, how are you?
Great. How are you doing, Tony?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for getting up so early with us this morning, Kyle. First question I want to ask you is, I don't know how much MERS is covering this, but I just wanted to get your take. We should find out this week on where the Supreme Court stands on Obamacare. What's your thought on that?
Well, I think at kind of the state level, folks up here are really concerned about it because we've been trying to get a health care exchange, or the governor has been trying to get a health care exchange here for about a year. Obviously the impetus is because of the new Affordable Care Act, but also, he sees some value in presenting a service that the folks in Michigan who don't have insurance can use to get individual health care insurance. You know, the private sector is, the trend is for the private sector to offer less and less health care, and in some cases offer no health care at all. And if there's an easier way for folks to get health care insurance, and if it's through an exchange where various insurance companies can go and put their services out there, that's a good idea.
Kyle, the energy ballot issue is really starting to come to the forefront when it comes to what we're talking about in the news. What's your take on that story?
Well, this idea that that Michigan should have 25% of its energy come from in-source renewable energies by the year 2025 is an expansion of something that we have right now, where we're supposed to have 10% of our energy come from in-source or in-state renewable energy by the year 2015. And DTE and Consumers Energy says that they're on pace to hit that, even though we're not really close to that 10% number right now. We have some wind farms in production that should get us there by 2015, and they don't really like this idea of 25 by 25 because it's a force on the market to do something that may not be realistic and may not be prudent for ratepayers going forward. To set kind of an arbitrary number is, you know, sounds good, but is it really make sense and for, you know, the pocketbook and so forth? I mean, we could be at 35% by then. Or we could, you know, maybe wind or solar, maybe it would just still be cost prohibitive to hit those numbers. But on the other hand, if we want to be a leader in renewable energy in the state and we want to get away from having to import a bunch of coal from West Virginia or wherever we're getting it from, and or maybe natural gas is going to shoot through the roof. I mean, right now the prices are really nice. But, maybe that changes. And so there's got to be some flexibility there, and we want to get away from dirty energy. So I think that there's a lot of interest on both sides, and that's what you're seeing. And I think they're probably going to make the ballot, and then I see a pretty vigorous campaign both for and against.
Tell us about the local state representative races here, the Mid-Michigan area races.
Well, there's, there's... there's four that I think that are very interesting. I think, up in the DeWitt area there, there's a real aggressive state rep there. I don't know how much we've talked about it on this show, but on the Republican primary, Paul Opsmer is being term limited out, and we've got some real interesting race there with Kirk and Tom Leonard and Michael Trevish being kind of the front runners on the Republican primary there. And from what I'm told from my Republican sources, there are as many signs, yard signs out up in the DeWitt area in southern Clinton County than you'll see anywhere else in the state already for a state rep race. It's pretty exciting. We've talked on this show already about the 68th district here, and I think we're seeing Elon Robinson and Dale Kopich going out, and Ted O'Dell trying to catch Andy Shore, who's got a bit of a head start. And then I think with Sam Singh and Susan Schmidt on the East Lansing Meridian Township race, that's one that I ranked this past week, as one of the top three most competitive ones to watch. Just because you got a really just a two-person race there. and candidates who are of good quality and going out there and doing what they need to do to get endorsements and knock doors and get support. And that one is one that the Democrats are really watching. So we've got some nice competitive primaries here in Lansing during a time when there's a cycle where there's comparatively not that many open seats compared to last year.
You know what I'm surprised at? I'm surprised that the Democratic Party didn't try to entice Virge Bonaro to run against Mike Rogers.
I'm sure he thought about it, but the and I'm sure Virge would jump at it if the numbers were right. But the numbers don't look that good. You know, the Republican base in that district, in our 8th congressional district, is only about, at best, 55%, but it is more like 56-57%. And that's just not good enough odds. If you're, Virge is the mayor now and says he's going to run for re-election and probably would be in a good shot to win that, assuming that Brian Jeffries doesn't run. But even then, he could probably still win it. So, running against Mike Rogers and an incumbent isn't really a good, jump unless you're, you really, really want to be in Congress. It doesn't really surprise me, Tony. Maybe if it was a 50-50 seat, he'd take a look at it. Maybe if it was a bit more on the Dem side, he probably would do it. But it's just not a good risk right now, a good political risk for Virge Bonaro.
You are thinking there's going to be a very close presidential race, Romney versus Obama, here for the state of Michigan.
Well, I think the polling numbers so far would indicate that it's going to be close. But remember, Tony, I mean, we're still in June, and we still got July and August and September and October. And really, I don't really think the presidential race really begins in earnest until after the conventions in August and September and after Labor Day. And I think people start dialing in after that. I mean, take a look at it. And Romney has really had Michigan to himself in January, February. He did take a break, I think, in March and April. And starting back up there in the mid-May, June area, Romney kind of had the whole stage to himself here as far as, like, campaigning and trying to get a message out and so forth. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see when Obama decides that he's going to start to open his pocketbook and start spending some TV ads here. We've had a lot of third parties in this state, Tony, trying to soften him up, and Debbie Stabenow trying to get the numbers to an area where they think Michigan can be competitive for Republicans. And John McCain tried to do that, too, in 2008, but I think we saw that one ended up being a runaway. The state hasn't gone red since 1988, Tony, and it's going to take a lot for the Republicans to win it.
Opponents of a constitutional amendment that would create 8 new casinos in Michigan are claiming that the other side wants to eliminate the rights of citizens to ratify expanded gambling in their hometowns. This is another story that the MERS newsletter is covering. Tell us about it.
Well, I think this is kind of a sideshow in the whole debate about whether we need 8 new corporate casinos here in the state. The supporters of this proposal are right in that they are putting in additional protections for these 8 communities who would get casinos to reject the idea on a local level if they didn't want them through a popular vote. I think, though, that the people who are opposed to it are just pointing to a section of the Constitution that was ratified in 2004 that did create a statewide and local vote on any new casino proposal. And so they're pointing at that being rejected, but there's replacement language putting in there. I think that the opponents to this are just kind of creating a little bit of a sideshow before things really get going on this later in the year. And there's going to be a bit of money spent on this one, Tony. I mean, when you've got the Saginaw Chippewa tribe that in 2004 just completely unloaded their wallet to put on that language, the local vote and the statewide vote and MGM and Motor City and all the other Indian tribes who have a vested interest in making sure we don't have 8 new corporate casinos out there. They're going to just saturate the airwaves and try and knock this thing down and paint it any which way they can to stop additional gaming in the state.
Is there any new news on the proposed bridge from Detroit to Windsor?
No, other than the folks who, the Ambassador Bridge folks, announced last week they've got the signatures to put on their ballot proposal to stop or to have a public vote on a bridge. And, you know, I think there's an open question. It'll be decided in court whether that really means anything or not. I mean, Snyder's already signed the contract with or the agreement with Canada to build the bridge. Can something like this be retroactive? I don't know. You know, both sides would claim that it doesn't, or one claim that it would impact the signing of this bridge, and another side would say that it doesn't. And I'm sure the courts will get the ultimate decision on this. You know, the Maroons and the Ambassador Bridge folk don't have a very good track record in court, but what they have been able to do through the legal system is stall any competition to the Ambassador Bridge. And so from that aspect, they have been pretty successful.
All right, final question for you, Kyle. What are you going to be keeping your eye on in Lansing today?
Well, let's see here. We've got, you know, we've got really kind of a week before, 2 weeks, I suppose. But really, this is kind of the last week for organized to kind of get their stuff together on these ballot proposals that we're just talking about and putting in their signatures. Because next week is the 4th of July weekend. It's kind of questionable if you can kind of pull everything together, get the volunteers needed to put something out there. So I'm going to be seeing who's going to be turning in ballot proposals this week in language, and people saying they have the signatures they do say they have. You know, when you got to put it on a piece of paper for the Bureau of Elections, it's put down there in stone, and you can't really go back and claim something different.
Kyle Malin is the editor of the MIRS newsletter. Go to MIRSnews.com. Kyle, thanks so much.
Hey, it's my pleasure, Tony.